It is 2 p.m. on August 18, 2022. This is the time and date scheduled for pre-hearing conference in Public Service Commission case number RC-22-339. This is also OAH file number 2022-0235. And this is a complaint case brought by Clyde Eisenbeiss. This pre-hearing conference is being held this afternoon through Zoom. I am not recording. I am recording this pre-hearing conference. I'm not doing it through Zoom. I am using a digital audio recorder. Appearing for a pre-hearing conference this afternoon is Mr. Eisenbeiss, and he is appearing personally and without an attorney. I have attorney Wade Mann, who is appearing on behalf of North American Coal. And then on behalf of the Public Service Commission, I have Special Assistant Attorney Generals John Hsu and Brian Johnson. And then I also have PSC staff members Zaina Brinkman and Jonathan Emmer, who are work in the Reclamation Division and who are just listening in our pre-hearing conference this afternoon. My name is Judge Hope Hogan, and I've been designated as a procedural hearing officer for this case. And what that means is that I have been asked to conduct or run the hearing for this case, but I'm not the decision maker for this proceeding. I scheduled this pre-hearing conference just to make sure we're all on the same page about how the hearing is going to run on September 1st, and that if there's any issues regarding how the hearing will proceed, we can address those this afternoon rather than doing that on the morning of the hearing. And perhaps the parties have had conversations about the hearing that I haven't been privy to, and if that's the case, if somebody wants to let me know, that'd be great. Otherwise, I just want to note that we're just going to be talking about how the hearing's going to run this afternoon, and we're not going to be addressing any of the substantive issues that will be decided in this case. So I think I'm going to start with you, Mr. Eisenbeiss. Are you planning to hire an attorney to represent you in this, or are you going to proceed on your own?
No attorney.
Okay. All right, and that's fine. I just wanted to make sure before we start talking about some of these other issues. And then I think I'm going to turn to you, Mr. Hsu. I was just, it's probably in here, but it wasn't apparent to me. Could you point me to the statute or the rule, that's the underlying authority for this hearing?
Your Honor, it falls under Title 38 as well as North Dakota Administrative Code. Sorry, I don't have a quote in front of me this exact moment. I apologize. I got pulled up just a minute ago. Well, really, this is moving forward, Your Honor, pursuant to the North Dakota Practice and Procedure that's in front of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Let's see. So it goes forward under Article 6902, just generally how these are going to proceed. It doesn't actually have any special practice or procedure outside of notices and publications and so forth. The statutory, the complaint it speaks for itself on how they, under what provisions of the statute you intend to proceed with, though.
Okay.
For the complaint.
Okay. And so, from your perspective, Mr. Hsu, I assume Mr. Eisenbeiss would present his witnesses and evidence first?
Yes, Your Honor, as he's carrying the complaint, we would anticipate that Mr. Eisenbeiss would then bring forward witnesses, his evidence as well, followed by Mr. Mann, North American Coal. We're here solely in an advisory capacity, but we do have witnesses available to, provide expertise to the commission. But we do not have a case to carry.
Okay. Mr. Eisenbeiss, do you plan to call witnesses at the hearing?
No.
Are you going to testify at the hearing?
All the evidence is in the report that I filed, photographs and documents from NAC and from PSC.
So you're not planning to provide any other testimony? Are you, other than, and I assume the report you're referring to is, I got a 45-page document that was attached to the notice of hearing, which I assume is what you're referring to?
Yeah, it's about 45 pages on the right, yeah. Okay. And I do plan to make some comments throughout the thing as we go through it, item by item, but I have no additional witnesses because, to me, the document speaks for itself. So.
Okay, and when you say you have additional comments to make, I assume that means you are going to testify and go through this document?
Well, I think we should go through the document, yeah. There's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff to absorb at one time.
Okay. Well, I guess the reason why I ask is the only way you can do that is if you testify at the hearing. So that's...
Okay, whatever that means, okay. Yeah.
That means you're placed under oath and then you're subject to questions from the other parties, so...
That's fine. They ask any question they want to. Right?
Okay.
Oh, and then I'm under oath for reporting a problem. That's fine. Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
And do you have any other documents you're going to offer besides this report?
Nope.
Okay. We'll need you, and I don't know, I'll ask Mr. Shu in a little bit if we need additional copies for the Public Service Commission, but I'll need you to bring me a color copy, because there's lots of photos in here, but I'll need a color copy for the official record for this case, so if you want to bring that on the date of the hearing.
Can the PSC provide that, because they have a color printing machine, I think. Mr. Shu?
Generally, the parties bring forward their own exhibits and provide it to the judge themselves. Otherwise, it would not be, I guess it could be argued in a situation that maybe we did not provide the right exhibit. So that's usually up to the responsibility of the party to do that.
And Mr. Shu, I know this might be a little bit different than other cases, but normally parties bring copies for all the commissioners at the hearing too. Is that, would you be expecting that as well in this particular situation?
Your Honor, we wouldn't anticipate that they would bring multiple copies. To the extent that they do bring in a document, one for the official record, for yourself, Judge, as well as one additional copy, I anticipate we could make copies of it, but for the purposes of getting to the commissioners, but generally we do not, we're usually not the ones actually making photocopies and presenting this. So usually the party comes in and will bring in three copies for the commissioners, one for the LJ. They'll have one available for themselves and a witness, as well as for the advisory staff, and in this case, it would be North American Coal.
Well, I understood that emailing it to the commissioners, which I did, was adequate. Am I mistaken?
Yes, I would disagree with that. For the date of the hearing, which we'll be providing, is documentation for the evidentiary record. So what you present on the day of the hearing will be the evidence actually provided for the record.
Chris, you want hard copies. How many hard copies do you need?
I would probably think that we need three for the commissioners, three for the judge, the party, as well as yourself, I'm assuming, and one for advisory staff. So that would be seven.
Seven, including the one for me, you're saying?
Seven, including the one for yourself.
Okay. Yeah, that's strange. Okay, that's fine. And it's odd. It's odd that I already sent an email PDF. It's colored gray, but my print them, I guess.
Well, I think you'll find out at the hearing, Mr. Eisenbeiss, that the commissioners and myself, we like the hard copy right in front of us and to look at the pages right there. And you know, I printed it out on my printer, and you know, I work for the government, so it's in black and white. So I know I had to pull it up on my computer because there's several photos in here. So just going through it, I knew that color photos were going to be important. So
yeah, well, I received a colored hard copy from the PSC or from what's in this room. I received a colored hard copy from somebody in the mail.
Okay.
It's from the PSC, in fact. They have a color printer because they gave me a hard copy. I guess my sister and brother also got hard copies in color also. So,
I fully believe the PSC probably has numerous color copiers there, but unfortunately it's not their obligation to do that or provide those copies. And I'm, I know they don't do it in other hearings, similar type of hearings. So
okay.
I think it's
So you want, okay, let me sure I understand it. So seven copies. Is that to be seven hard copies besides the one for myself? Is that correct?
I think the seven was including a copy for yourself.
Well, for me, so six copies. You need. Yep. I already have one that was sent to me by the PSC. So.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Mann, do you anticipate calling witnesses? If so, how many?
Your Honor, I do. It's still up in the air a little bit. I haven't had a chance to meet with the client and go through everything. I am anticipating at least one company witness and probably Sarah Flath, but it's still to be determined. I had a question on that too, and with respect to like reclamation staff or PSC representatives will be at the hearing. It sounds from Mr. Hsu like they do not intend to present any or put on any type of case, but the issues that are being addressed in this complaint, these are issues that have, the very issues that are the subject of the complaint have been addressed by PSC and reclamation staff before through an informal type proceeding, and you can see that from the the decision letter that Mr. Eisenbeiss had attached to the complaint. PSC reclamation staff reviewed this. There was an informal proceeding, and I believe it was like June of 2019, give or take that time frame. So if PSC staff is not going to be, you know, putting on witnesses and sort of, I guess, defending that decision or defending that letter, so to speak, I guess I'd like the opportunity to examine reclamation staff witness with respect to what was previously determined through that informal proceeding. Is that, and I don't know, I guess probably a question for Mr. Hsu, is that something that PSC is agreeable to, or are we going to have to try to do a subpoena or something like that if we want to do that?
There would be no need for a subpoena. We'll have staff available. And I guess to that extent, when I say we work in a, you're planning on carrying a case, to the extent that issues are addressed, we were going to provide our expert witnesses just objectively to discuss the issues, but not from the aspect that it goes that we have actually an issue to present. It'll just be mostly in response in general to what we previously have done or have not done.
Okay. So, again, Your Honor, one company witness, but also potentially and maybe fairly likely that we'd like to call one of the reclamation staff witnesses who will be there just to kind of address some of the previous, investigation done on these very issues and sort of the conclusions and those types of things.
Okay.
And then I did have some other questions as well with respect to procedure. Understanding this is, administrative hearing, are evidentiary rules going to be applied, enforced, or how will that work?
Well, it's my understanding we are under 2832, which means I technically have the authority to waive the rules of evidence. Which means, relevance would be the only standard for admissibility of evidence. And this issue doesn't come up in PSC cases that much, but in general, if, there's a pro se party, we normally do that. I don't know if there's any specific evidence or issues that you're asking about.
Yeah, and the reason I asked, Your Honor, and we don't intend to make this, a big deal or a big issue, but there, if it's just Mr. Eisenbeiss and there aren't going to be, witnesses, there's, various spots within the complaint where there's, allegations that a certain party, like a Ms. Saylor or another gentleman's cattle, to the extent that there's, things in there where there's not really foundation for it or any other supporting documentation or, Ms. Saylor told me this, or, we have obviously have concerns about that to the extent that we don't have the ability to you know, cross-examine any of those people. So that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Your Honor?
Yep.
I guess under the PSC's practice procedure, which, as you noted, can be waived, generally there is we do generally apply under the practice procedure, the rules of evidence. As you stated, normally in our proceedings, that does not come up. And to the extent that it really has become an issue, the commission has been very flexible on that as well, and they prefer to be flexible as well. But there are some standards, at least in the practice procedures as it's set forth under 1602.
Can you give me the site again?
It'll be under 6902.05, I believe. 6902.05.01 addresses the rules of evidence and practice procedure.
Okay. Okay. I haven't reviewed those in a while, so I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but I will do that before the hearing, and I think maybe we address that the day of the hearing, Mr. Mann, with kind of a understanding that there's going to be some flexibility in what we allow Mr. Eisenbeiss to bring in, but obviously, you know, you're going to have your right to build your record and put your objections, certainly put your objections on the record to any of those evidentiary issues.
Sure. And then I guess, Mr. Eisenbeiss, but
okay.
Kind of along those lines, with it being Mr. Eisenbeiss, I don't know what the intention is. It's, you know, like you said, it's a 45-page document. You know, some of it's, you know, photographs and things like that. But is the intent for Mr. Eisenbeiss to kind of read through it or just, you know, dump it in? I'm just trying to figure out for purposes where we do have, you know, objections, if it's something where he doesn't point out in his sort of oral summary or oral testimony, but it's in the doc and you know, if you're going to just include the whole document and allow that into evidence, you know, kind of how we get that objection in the record to a particular piece of that complaint is just kind of procedural type.
Right. No, this is kind of why I wanted to have the pre-hearing conference so we can flesh out some of this. So maybe I'll start here. Yep, go ahead, Mr. Eisenbeiss.
Yes. Well, I thought we could simply go through it paragraph by paragraph through the entire document and then discuss each paragraph as we go through it. That seems a simple story. And the reason I'm doing this is because it's not allowed to talk in an informal proceeding. And if you look at Appendix CBCD E or F, it lists the question that I wanted to ask that I wasn't allowed to ask. Mm-hmm. And read this for this formal hearing. It said I'm allowed to talk and explain things. And can we simply just go through it? Page 5, paragraph 2, and paragraph 3, and talk about one as we go through. It's a chance for the commissioners to be involved in the discussion.
Well, normally how this works, Mr. Eisenbeiss, is it's not going to be like an open discussion with you and the commissioners. Like, it's my understanding you want to enter this whole document into the record and then perhaps provide some testimony. I don't know if your thought is, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but to kind of highlight, you know, the major points out of this. I mean, I certainly don't want you to go through and read all this document.
Thank you.
But then once, you know, you've provided whatever summary you're going to provide, then Mr. Mann is going to be able to have the opportunity to ask you questions along with Mr. Chu, and then the public service commissioners are going to be allowed to ask you questions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, when Mr. Mann presents his witnesses, they'll provide testimony, and then you'll be allowed to ask those witnesses questions. So I know you had in here a big list of questions you had that you haven't been able to ask before, and hopefully, you know, you'll be able to do that through witnesses or information that's testified to, but it won't be like a PSC meeting where everybody's just kind of discussing issues and going paragraph by paragraph. It's more like informal court proceedings. So I'll place witnesses under oath and they're going to provide testimony and other parties can cross-examine them, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes no sense to me at all, because normally we report something, you talk about it and discuss it. It doesn't go through a court. Like, it's going through court, and I understand that, but it doesn't make sense to me at all, because we want to talk about these issues and discuss them. And I'm not sure why we should be restricted by all these things. We've got to do this, sustain, object, and whatever. It makes no sense to me. I want to just discuss these issues.
Well, and this is just the procedure set forth by statute and the rules and how they handle these complaints. I mean, you're entitled to a formal hearing, and this is how formal hearings work. So
It's something if the police did the same thing. Someone says that someone burglarized my house, and you got to go through court hearings and stuff and witnesses and stuff about whether they really do it, and you can't talk to the police until you're in a court position. I mean, it makes no sense at all why the purpose of the Century Code is to protect people and their property, and it makes no sense to make things so complicated when it's called we to discuss and resolve. And in that case, the police investigate, not the person, not the victim. So there's a lot of things. I don't understand the Century Code is set that way, but it's really odd that it would require that kind of handicap, because, like I said, who would report anything to police if they had to go to a court to and then be questioned, and you know, you're a witness that this is really true stuff. It never happens for police cases and any kind of crime. So I'm not complaining, but that's, to me, it's kind of an odd situation.
Well, and I, you're comparing this to a criminal proceeding, and that's something completely different. I think if you were going to make a corollary, it'd be similar to a civil proceeding in district court. So that's would have a similar type of...
That's not really true, because I didn't report this to the Mercer County Sheriff. To me, it was a criminal procedure. Damaging someone's property is criminal.
Okay,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is just a different process than that, so...
I know, but it's still a crime. Damaging someone's property is a crime. Period.
Okay, but that's not what the PS... You're not going to get anybody convicted through this particular proceeding. That's not...
No, it's one of those picture problems, all. That's fine.
Right.
But I'm just saying, it's like I said, it's a matter of something being like, if the police have operated, or people have seen procedure with police, I mean, it's a terrible situation.
Right.
I mean, who would even come? And my parents would never come before a court like this. Any of my relatives or any older folks, whether they're farmers or town people, they wouldn't do this.
Okay.
It seems so strange that they try to protect property, but yet they make all these roadblocks, and it makes it very hard to do. I mean, that's not enough.
All right. Well, I want to get back to... the issue Mr. Mann raised, because really I have no control over the process we're following. That's like you acknowledge, it's been set by statute and rules. So, you know, there's nothing we can do about that at this point. But you heard Mr. Mann kind of express his concerns about, you know, what I'll call hearsay, you know, statements in here about what other people have told you about things they've seen or things that have happened out there. And I haven't thoroughly read your complaint. I read it pretty briefly, but I saw those comments in there too. And you're Mr. Eisenbeiss, you're pro se, so you're going to have a little latitude in what you can present. But I suspect Mr. Mann is going to object to that evidence coming in, just because. When we talk about rules of evidence and fairness in these type of proceedings, we got to stick with what you know, what you've seen, those type of things. If you're talking about what other people told you and they're not there to tell the commissioners that, you know, it's really not fair to the other side, because they're not able to kind of question that information and hear that information directly from the person that saw it or heard it. So does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, the one thing, though, there is documented evidence, and that's a report written by the PSC when they release, they were releasing water, pond water, from the south end of the creek, and it flooded Lucille Seiler's farmland, and the PSC went out, PSC did nothing for a day until it was broadcast on TV. They immediately showed up the next morning to take photographs and write a report. So that does exist, and Mr. Truett has that someplace. That's a report written, I don't remember, last year, last fall, I think. I'm not sure the exact date.
Well, and it's
in fact, and excuse me, and then what happened then, immediately when the PSC showed up, North American Coal stopped putting water in the creek immediately.
Okay.
And they have their own document that should prove that. And why did they put it in the first place? I mean, the only reason they stopped immediately is because they probably were doing it illegally. But I don't know that. But I don't have a proof of it because that's arguments in their hands. That proves in their hands, not in my hands or the PSC's hands.
So it sounds like we're going to have at least one representative from the PSC that's going to testify at the hearing. So you'll be able to address certainly, you know, what the PSC staff has done or hasn't done. So I'm not as concerned about that. I'm more concerned about statements that have been made by family members or neighbors out there that you care about.
Regarding the PSC, they've written a report. They can just bring the report and file it with the court. I don't know how that works exactly, but they've got that report. I don't have that report. They have that report. Mr. Sheen, you know what I'm talking about?
Off the top of my head, I don't know exactly what board you're talking about, but I do believe we probably gave that to you through an open records request in the past.
Yeah, I don't remember anymore. I didn't keep all the reports. Photos are what I kept. I didn't keep the report necessarily, but if the evidence is there someplace buried in your reports, and someone's, I don't know who was out there, Guy Welsh or who was out there, but someone's out there and took photographs, and I saw that report, and then I don't have it anymore. But they just simply, there's PSC evidence that in fact did happen. And the question, like I said, is it's a great question, don't have proof, but why did NAC stop putting water in that creek immediately? That's a good question to ask them.
Well, we're kind of, Mr. Eisenbeich, we're getting into the merits of your case, and we're not here to discuss that today.
Yeah, fine. The second thing is that I learned this just recently after I filed a report. I found out that Rodney Wagum's cattle had been dying, and he took it. I said the veterinarian there, but I think they took the index soon after the veterinarian or not. And they analyzed the dead cow and said it's sulfide poisoning. And he had lost other cattle before this point too. Now I can't bring this into my complaint because that's not me. But I brought it up because, in fact, that pond water, which is discharged and ends up flooding our farmland and ends up in the creek, does soak down to the ground water table and does affect somebody else. And that's something that the PSC could check into on their own. They don't need me because I really don't have no jurisdiction over those cattle. But I'm just telling you what I heard just recently, that he's lost cattle over a period of time now, some years, and they identified that being sulfite poisoning. And that sulfite poison, by the way, if that affects the groundwater, that could actually kill people, too. So I don't even know. That's probably ranks the broad as a crime rate, too, but it's not well beyond what specifically I mentioned in the formal complaint.
Okay. Well, those are, I think, the kind of statements that are going to be problematic at the hearing, Mr. Eisenbeich, because if you're just telling you what you've heard or what Mr. Wygum has reported to you without any having Mr. Wygum come in and talk about that or any real proof that, you know, that's what the reports from the veterinarian said, generally that type of evidence is not allowed in these type of proceedings.
Yeah. But if that happened in a real-life situation, they reported the police would investigate immediately. They would not wait for a formal hearing and going to a court and stuff. They would investigate, see, is this true or not? I think the PSC should be the same way. They should, when they hear something could have happened that may or may not be true, they should personally send their own staff out there and their own commissioner out there and verify that it's true or not. Because, like, when a crime, I see someone robbing a house or burning a house, I can tell the police, they'd check it out. They wouldn't say, well, we got to have a formal hearing and a formal position. They don't do that.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Okay. So, getting back to your complaint, Mr. Eisenbeich, and I just want to make sure I understand what you plan to present at the hearing. You want to file this formal complaint, and then as far as, now that we've kind of talked about what the hearing is and what it's not, am I correct in saying that you're just going to kind of highlight the what you think is the most pertinent information in this complaint?
I'd like to go through paragraph by paragraph. Any questions? I can answer that question, that paragraph, next paragraph, same thing. Just something I should clarify more that was probably not as clear. It should have been in the written document I wrote. I clarified at that point, and I just go through it. Paragraph by paragraph, not read them. It makes no sense to read them late.
Right.
Then you can read it. It's sitting there. So.
Well, and again, we're not going to go paragraph by paragraph and ask questions. You're going to be allowed the time to go through everything you want to say, and then we start with a round of questions.
Okay.
So I just want you to be prepared that that's...
Well, I've been prepared for, in 2018 when they discussed the Flint Burn, I was prepared
okay.
then too, but I didn't know about Robbie Michael's cattlemen, but...
Lucille
Siler's land hadn't been flooded that time again, but it flooded before, so...
So your plan is to go through and discuss, you know, all the information you have in here, like you said, paragraph by paragraph?
Well, can people ask questions as you go through paragraph? It's hard to write down notes and everything. There's a lot of stuff there to absorb.
You will be able to present whatever testimony you want to present, and then once you're done presenting that information, then I'm going to basically go around the room and ask everybody if they have questions with you. So I'll start with Mr.
Okay.
Mann. He'll be able to ask you questions. And then Mr. Hsu, and then we're going to go through each of the commissioners, and they'll be allowed an opportunity to ask you questions. So
okay,
everybody's going to get a chance to ask questions. It's just... It won't be after every paragraph because we'd probably be there for 2 weeks. So
yeah, I know. you should realize how long it's taken me to put this stuff together.
Yeah.
You see the list at the end.
Okay.
A lot of time to have on this.
Okay. So, Mr. Mann, does that kind of clarify where Mr. Eisenbeis is going with his presentation and address some of your concerns? I'm not really sure how much else we can get into today without, you know, really digging in.
I think so, Your Honor. I think I have general understanding now on how the proceeding will take place, and the information I got was helpful. I guess, Your Honor, I don't know, Mr. Hsu, if this is something you are willing to share yet, but do you know what staff will be available for examination if we elect to... examine any witnesses?
I was actually just about to pipe in on that to see if there was staff that you had a preference to be available. I think most of our staff that are currently with us will be available. We anticipate Mr. Welch will be available, as well as our groundwater experts and our surface water watershed experts as well. So if you do have a specific person you would prefer to have available, and that goes for you too as well, Mr. Eisenbeis, that currently, you know, we have access to and are available to us, it would be good to know that. So for the purpose of our own scheduling, we can make
sure. Well, one person I think was Chad, was his last name again, was there for the inspection. And I did mention that he saw that the water sitting in the creek, so it might be nice to have him around, you know, Chad Welch, I think. Is that his name?
Guy
Welch. Guy. No, what I got wrong. You'll be old and forgetful someday, too.
No, I'll make sure Mr. Welch is available.
Yeah, Guy Welch, because he's I'm pretty sure he was there, and I think Brian Beach or something, I think, was there, too. And they saw the water in the creek. It was water setting in the water in the creek. Unfortunately, no photograph was taken of that, and I don't have it as evidence that I didn't think of taking a photograph, and the PSC never took a photograph either.
Mr. Beachy is no longer available.
He's gone. Okay. Brian, I think, was there. Yeah. Okay. But either the Guy Welch, I just met with him at the farmland at the inspection, whatever that was, some weeks ago. But I'm not aware of any photographs of the creek when it was still full of water.
Sure.
And that's important, because that shows that I don't want to get into details here. I can talk about that later, but regardless.
Sure. And just for some clarification for Mr. Mann as well, to the extent that he does feel he needs a witness, I would probably encourage him to feel free to call if it's necessary for his own case. But we would anticipate that we would be calling an individual regardless, more than likely, just to provide some context to the commission and the staff's actions.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Thank you.
Mr. Mann, go ahead.
I think North American does intend to file... a formal complaint was filed, so we do intend to file an answer, responsive pleading. It's a little bit challenging. It's a little bit different than the typical sort of complaint pleading that we, are used to seeing, but we do intend to put in an answer in response. So,
do you know when you're going to have that filed by?
next week. I mean, the hearing's coming up quick.
That's just what I'm asking.
Midweek next week. I mean, frankly, Your Honor, it'll be sort of like a typical answer, kind of general denials or lack information to the extent, you know, there's any admissions, that as well.
Okay. And Mr. Mann, are you going to have any exhibits that you're filing?
The answer is I think so. I don't know what they are. Like I said, I haven't had an opportunity yet to meet and go through everything with my client fully yet, and with sort of the abbreviated schedule there with the hearing. I don't know yet. But yes, likely. I just don't know what those exhibits will be.
Yeah. I'd like a copy of that document that you sent to the PSC, okay? Or to the court, too.
We'll serve all parties with our filing of the answer.
Do you think you would be able, I know it's hard to answer because you haven't met with them, but I'm wondering if I could get a commitment to have the exhibits pre-filed maybe a week before the hearing? 5 days or something?
1 minute, let's see. Well, the hearing's September 1st, so,
right.
Potentially the 29th, Your Honor, if we have to pre-file, is that okay?
I would say whatever you can do is good. I just think that it probably would be helpful to have them filed a couple days before the hearing just to make sure everybody has a chance to look at them, particular Mr. Eisenbeiss, because, you know, he's kind of new to these type of hearings, and so I think it'd be helpful for him to see it beforehand.
Yeah. A good example is for the informal hearing. The day before the informal hearing, I got a letter written by NEC to the PSC that was dated a year earlier, and I get it the day before the informal hearing. I didn't have a chance to respond on that even, and I couldn't talk during the hearing.
Yeah.
So I want that to happen again. I want to get it before. If it's billed to the PSC a year before, they send it to me at the same time, not a year later.
If you get a copy of those exhibits on the 29th, Mr. Eisenbeiss, is that sufficient? We're really confined with the time period that these hearings have to happen, so I know this is not ideal for anybody, but
whatever happens, excuse me interrupting, but whatever happens is fine. If you don't get until the day of, that's fine too, because at least I can talk then.
Okay.
Your Honor, obviously, you know, we're not trying to sandbag or surprise anybody. It's just, like you said, with the contentious time frame and coordinating with everybody's schedules, it's challenging. But we'll make every effort to have any exhibits that we intend to use by the 29th.
Okay.
If for some reason we can do it sooner, we would. But I don't anticipate that being the case.
Right.
Please email it. Since a snail mail is too slow. Our postmaster doesn't always come out in the rural areas every week. I mean, every day. Sometimes it's a couple days, 2-3 days later. I'd rather get an email. I get it right away then.
Yeah, we could do regular mail and email or just email.
Okay.
Your Honor, we may have documents as well to provide.
Okay.
For the matters of fleshing out some of the issues that Mr. Eisenbeiss was, trying to address and to the extent that we could provide some of those, we'll attempt to try to get those to everybody out via email the 29th as well. But I am out of town next week, so it is a little tight. But like I said, to the extent that I can get out the 29th and 30th, I will. But these are all documents that are currently generally in the dockets in the inspection report. So none of these things should really be a surprise to any person in this room.
Okay.
Mr. Hsu, ask Guy Welsh what else was out there with him when he was out there inspecting with me. I don't remember. In fact, I can ask a question. Who else was out there when they inspected in 2011 and 2014? Whoever was there, they should also, 2011 doesn't matter, 2014 be a more crucial time. Who else was out there then? That's a pretty good question. I mean, the people that were there in their inspection saw where the creek was full of water. Those are the people I'd like to see there. So that's an actual witnesses, not hearsay that, I heard that they saw that. I mean, I personally saw the water myself. So. And the ranger saw them. I could bring them to town. They're busy farming. They don't have time to come into town for something like this. So.
you know, I guess I couldn't answer who was out there at an inspection. Yeah. Who was out there as well.
Yeah, well, I saw it. It was full of water. I mean, it was on the bank, correctly for me, some front wind. It was how full it was. I wish I had taken a picture of it. I just didn't get it. You know, it never occurred to me.
I believe in your complaint, you stated it was Mr. Beachy and Mr. Welch, but Mr. Beachy is no longer with us.
Okay, yeah, okay, don't remember. Okay, that's fine.
All right.
And the base on us, like I said, they're farming. I'm not going to drag them into town for this, but they saw it. We were just out there doing the PSA inspection. When they made the measurements of the land that had been disturbed. And when they were out there, they said they'd never seen the creek empty before. It's always amazing. They've only been reaching about 5 years now. And the creek's always been full of water. They've never seen an empty like it is now.
All right.
Again, you can call it hearsay, but that's what they just told me.
Okay. All right. Mr. Eisenbeiss, do you have any other questions or issues you want to address about the procedure or the format of the hearing?
Just do whatever the way you want to do it is fine.
Okay.
I'm flexible.
Mr. Mann, any other issues you want to discuss this afternoon?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
And Mr. Hsu?
It would just be good if Mr. Eisenbeiss and Mr. Mann, are there any names of people that you would like to have available from staff? You would shoot an email to the PSC just to make sure that we know they're available. They will be available to the extent that they can be. Then we can provide them to, of course, either party in this case.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Well, I really appreciate everybody making time for this pre-hearing conference this afternoon. I think it was good that we met and discussed some of these issues. So I will just note for the record, it is 2:41 p.m. That'll conclude our pre-hearing conference, and we'll see everybody in person in a couple weeks.
Okay, sounds good. Mr. Chu, where exactly are you located? Which room is this? In the Capitol building that we're meeting for this event?
It is on the hearing room is on the 12th floor of the Capitol building.
So I just go to the 12th floor, get up the elevator, and I'll see a sign that says conference room or something that I'll know where to go.
Sure, if you walk in, so we'll direct you to the correct room, sir.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.